Chapter 2. Outside Ms. Starr's classroom on Friday morning, a wonderful, terrible storm was brewing, and Elliot found it thrilling. Gray winter rain pelted the windows. Dark clouds rumbled and tumbled. Lately, Elliot's life had been feeling a bit dull, predictable. He longed for something unexpected to happen, and this wild storm was a start. He leaned over his desk and elbowed Nori. He was supposed to be doing silent seat work with the other 7 kids in the upside-down magic class, but their teacher, Ms. Starr, had stepped out for a moment. "Do you like the sound of rain as much as I do?" Nori blinked. "Huh? It's amazing, don't you think?"
"Whatever."
Usually Nori would have at least looked at the clouds, and probably gotten excited about them too. "Nori, is something wrong?" Elliot asked.
"Nah," Nori said.
Then she sniffed and dragged the back of her hand under her nose.
"Actually, yes. Did you know that I went to Sage yesterday? All the way there and all the way back?"
"What? Why?" Just then, Ms. Starr came back into the classroom with a stack of papers. "I've got the handouts on baby ospreys," she said. "Pepper, can you pass them out, please?" Pepper went from row to row. Bax Kapoor took his handout and made it into a paper airplane. Bax was an upside-down fluxer whose go-to fluxing animal was a rock, which wasn't an animal. Willa Ingeborg took her handout and began doodling on it. Technically, Willa was an upside-down flare because instead of making fire, she made rain. She didn't think that label accurately described her, so recently she'd started calling herself a fluid. Elliot brought his attention back to Nori. He leaned over.
"Why'd you go to Sage? Is your dad sick? Or Hawthorne or Dahlia?"
"No, everyone's fine," Nori said.
"Then what happened?"
"Elliot," interrupted Ms. Starr, "please pay attention. Why were the ospreys upset in the Grand Osprey Rebellion of 2012?
"I don't know," said Elliot, embarrassed.
"The baby osprey?" hinted Ms. Starr. "His love of almonds?"
"He really loved almonds?" Elliot tried.
Ms. Starr sighed and put aside her printout. "The storm's making it hard to focus, isn't it? Perhaps that's enough history for today. Let's use our last few minutes before lunch for interpretive dance." She put on the UDM kids' new favorite song, "Don't Eat Paste," and let them dance until the bell rang. The rain came down harder during lunch, lashing the wide cafeteria windows. Flashes of lightning made everyone's faces turn temporarily spooky. Elliot looked for Nori in the lunch line. He wanted to know what was wrong, but she wasn't in sight, so he waited by himself and got a huge blob of nasty-looking meatloaf and a smallish plop of mashed potatoes.
"Meatloaf again," moaned Bax when Elliot sat down. "It's too gross to eat. Do they want me to starve?"
Marigold Ramos joined them. No one quite knew what to call Marigold's magic. She wasn't an upside-down flare or flicker or anything else. What Marigold did was shrink things and make them grow. Marigold herself liked to say she was a fitter, but she'd made that up.
"I can help," Marigold told Bax. She shrank the nasty meatloaf and bigged up the mashed potatoes. "Better?"
Bax made a sound that might have been thank you. It was hard to tell since his mouth was crammed with mashed potatoes. Andres Padillo floated above them, eating the lunch he'd brought from home. Andres was an upside-down flyer. He could fly up with no trouble. He just couldn't come back down. To sit at a desk like the other kids, he had to wear a backpack filled with bricks. But he often shrugged it off during lunch. Pepper, Willa, and Sebastian sat down with their trays. Sebastian Boondoggle's upside-down magic allowed him to see invisible things, like radio waves and farts.
He wore large, dark aviator goggles every day to limit his vision and make his life easier. Elliot scanned the room.
"Where's Nori?" he asked.
"I'm here," Nori said, trudging toward them. On her tray was a grape. One single measly grape.
"Is that all you're eating?"
Andres called down from the ceiling. Nori sighed.
"I couldn't face the meatloaf."
She sat down and poked her grape with her fork.
"Nori?"
Elliot said.
"Talk."
Nori bit her lip. The other UDM kids fell silent.
"I sort of... well... I got admitted to Sage Academy,"
Nori mumbled, not meeting anyone's gaze.
"What?"
Elliot cried.
"No!" wailed Pepper. "Are you serious? How?"
Glumly, Nori told them the whole story.
"I don't want to go," she said. "It's my life. But Father says I have to get the highest quality education, whether I want to or not."
"We'll definitely miss you," Elliot said slowly.
"But it's cool that you got in."
He didn't want Nori to leave Dunwiddle, but he wanted to cheer her up.
"When do you start?"
"In January," Nori said, "at the beginning of the new semester."
"You can't leave Nori," said Pepper. "What about us and Coach and Ms. Starr?"
Nori gazed at her helplessly.
"I'm a kid. My dad's...
you know what he's like. Aunt Margot's flying me back to Sage after school today. My dad planned an official orientation over the weekend."
"Okay, listen," Elliot said. "Maybe your dad will change his mind. Maybe you won't have to go. Anything can happen, right? But in the meantime, congratulations. Seriously. Just getting in is a big deal."
"Congratulations for what?"
said someone from behind the table.
"What's a big deal?"
Elliot glanced over his shoulder and saw a short girl with short blonde hair. It was Lacey Clench, a flare of average talent. Back in ordinary school, Lacey and Elliot had been friends, along with some other kids who also turned out to have flare magic. They called themselves the Sparkies. Then, when Elliot's upside-down magic bubbled up, Lacey and the other kids had labeled Elliot a wonko and unfriended him. At the time, the rejection had really hurt. Sometimes it still did. But these days, Elliot had new friends. Better friends.
"A spot at Sage opened for next semester, and Nori got it,"
Marigold told Lacey. Lacey's chest rose and fell.
"Nori got accepted to Sage? Nori?"
"This is the point in the conversation when a nice person would tell Nori congratulations," Elliot said.
He frowned.
"Except, oh yeah, you're not nice. And, oh yeah, again, you also applied to Sage for this school year, didn't you, Lacey? But you didn't get in."
"Ouch,"
said Bax.
"Shut up, Elliot," Lacey said. "You know nothing about it, and anyway, I know you're lying. If there was an opening at Sage Academy, it would be mine. I'm at the top of the wait list. My dad told me I could get in at any minute." Crash! A chunk of plaster banged onto a nearby table. Kids screamed and drew back.
"OMG," Lacey said. "What did you wonkos do now?"
"What?" Elliot said. "We didn't do anything."
"Then why is the ceiling coming down?" Lacey demanded.
The ceiling tiles shook. The lights blinked and buzzed. 5 square feet of plaster, paint, and paste crashed to the center of the UDM table, followed by a flood of water.